Look at a familiar Bible story back in the Old Testament. So let's take our Bible and turn to Exodus chapter number 3. Exodus chapter 3, the story of Moses and the burning bush, is one of those stories that is probably well known almost above every other story in the Bible, or one of the top few. You know, think of David and Goliath and Noah's Ark and Moses and the burning bush. For his Old Testament stories, they really are probably along the same line as far as how familiar people are with them, being found in children's storybooks and in most Sunday school classes. They are taught at some spot or another, probably several times throughout the average child's attendance in Sunday school if they go quite regularly. But as I read this story a few weeks ago, as I read through Exodus, I'm reading through Exodus in my own personal Bible reading, God spoke to my heart about His desire to get our attention. And that's really what the story of Moses and the burning bush is about. You know, the fact is most people have little or no time for God. That's no surprise. We look around in the world today and we say that's just the way things are. People don't really think about God or even believe that He exists many times, in many cases in the world. And the only time people talk about God is often in swearing or in saying, why doesn't God do something about this? And about situations that are going on in the world. But even as Christians, sometimes we don't give God the attention that He deserves in our life. And we don't give Him the place that He deserves in our life. We're told to seek Him first, and often that's not the place that He has in our lives. And often we give God lip service, but fail to give Him really due attention. And so the story this evening, I trust, will be a blessing and a challenge to us about God having our attention. I entitled the message tonight, Does God Have Your Attention? Sometimes I think we fail to give God the attention that He deserves because we may feel that God has let us down. And as we see the story of Moses and look at it tonight, I believe that could be one of the things that was going on in Moses' life. But whatever the reason that we are not giving Him the attention deserves, if such is not the case, I trust that this message will be a blessing and a challenge to us this evening. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come up unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, what shall they say? And they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this portion of scripture tonight and pray that as you drew the attention of Moses to yourself, that Lord, we would see that that's your desire in our lives, to draw our attention to you, so that you may show yourself strong in our behalf, so that you may do that which you would desire to do in our lives and through our lives, and use us in the way that you would see fit to do, and minister to the needs of others. And so, Lord, I pray that you speak to our hearts through this message, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to realize, of course, first of all, that God wants our attention. We just read the story about God desiring to get Moses' attention. But it amazes me, always does, that God wants to have our fellowship and he wants our attention. The psalmist said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, and he called for them after they'd sinned and said, "Adam, where are you?" Of course, they were hiding because they had sinned, but God's desire was still to have fellowship with them. Throughout the scriptures, God's pleas are, "Come unto me, call upon me." And so he desires our attention. He desires us to call upon him. We might ask why. Why is that? Well, I believe that we know that God wants that because he cares about us. I think of our own family situations, and I trust it's the same in your life as is in mine. When I enjoy our family being together, and I enjoy having that conversation amongst ourselves. I enjoy having that. Why? Because I care about them. I want to know how their day's going, how their week's going, how things are, because I care about them, and I want things to be going well. I want to help them through difficulties and so on. And so I believe it's the same. God cares about us, and he wants to know, as it were, what's going on in our life. Of course, he knows, but he wants us to tell him. He wants us to have that desire to spend time with him because he cares about us. He makes that very clear throughout the scriptures. He says that he cares when a sparrow falls. And he says, "Then are you not more value than many sparrows?" There are times when we sometimes say, "Does God really care?" We ought not to even wonder that, because the Bible is full of God's care for us, and we see it so often in our lives. He wants our attention because he cares, and also he wants our attention because he wants us to show himself strong on our behalf. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." God's looking for people who will trust him so that he can show himself strong on their behalf. Why is he looking for our attention? Because he wants to do something in our lives. He wants to do things through our lives. Again, Matthew 6:33 promises that if we put him first, all those other things will be taken care of. So we give him the attention that he deserves. He says, "You look after what you're to look after. That's putting me in my rightful place in your life, and I'll take care of the rest." As we'll see in a few minutes, we'll see that God has a plan for our lives. And so he cares for us, and he desires our attention. But how does he get it? How does he get our attention? I suppose there are many ways that God could do that. And sometimes we say, "Well, I wish he would just write up in the sky." And sometimes, you know, especially seems like when we've been on vacation in Florida there around Disney World, there's those airplanes that write things up with the smoke from the plane, and you see it and you say, "Oh, okay, you're supposed to, you know, pay attention to that." Sometimes we say, "I wish God would do that. God, write what you want me to do up there in the sky, and so that I can know what it is that you want me to do." We would say, maybe, "God, why don't you call my name audibly? Just speak to me personally with an audible voice." But Peter tells us that we have a more sure word of prophecy than that. And so they're not the ways that God has chosen to speak to us today, though he could if he was to choose to do so. It's not the way he has chosen to do so. He speaks to our hearts through his word. He speaks to our hearts through the preaching of his word and our own personal Bible study. We know that. We say God desires to get our attention those ways, but sometimes they don't work. Not because God isn't speaking, but because we're not listening like we ought to. So then what does God do? How does he get our attention? Sometimes we don't heed that still small voice that he desires to speak to us with. There's no doubt that Moses was familiar with God's work. Yet God used a rather drastic means to get Moses' attention this day. Could it be that God had tried other means? and Moses wasn't listening? Could it be that Moses was a little bit out of sorts with God in his life? Because about 40 years earlier than this, when he was 40 years old, he had said, I'm going to go help my people. I'm going to go and deliver them. And he went in his time and in his way to do what he thought would be the right thing to do, and things didn't pan out the way he expected it to be. I'm sure that he was told by his mother, as his mother raised him on behalf of Pharaoh's daughter, some of the things about Israel and God's promises to Israel. And Moses thought, this is the time. I'm the one. I can go and deliver Israel out of the hand of Egypt. And he tried in his own way to do that. He had chosen to relate to Israel rather than Egypt already, because Hebrews 11, 24 to 26 says, when he was come to years, he chose to not to associate with the people of Egypt, but rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. He was willing to do that. He was willing to put his neck on the line, and in so doing, he sought to defend an Israelite. But when he did that, the fellow Israelites said, oh, are you gonna kill one of us like you killed that Egyptian yesterday? Because they were fighting amongst themselves. He then had to flee Egypt, realizing that Israel was not ready for him to deliver them, and that Egypt was going to be looking for his head. Moses' life, we would say, you know, when he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, he was ready right then to deliver Israel because he saw the suffering that they were taking. But it didn't work out the way he thought. He ended up in the wilderness, in a strange land. Back in chapter 2 of Exodus is where we see that, of course, he fled, and some of the accounts there of him killing the Egyptian and trying to stop the two Israelites from fighting. And he went and he dwelt in the desert. But it says in verse 22 that when he had a son, it says he called his name Gershom, for he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land. It doesn't sound like Moses was still very content with his life, did he? He was neither with the Israelites, nor with Egypt. He could have stayed with the Egyptians, but he chose to suffer affliction with the Israelites. They rejected his leadership in that situation. He had to flee for his life. Now he's a stranger in a strange land. And all these years later, he's still thinking, I'm a displaced person. Neither in the palace where I was raised, nor with my own people, who didn't understand what I was trying to do. A discouraging place, I'm sure it was in Moses' life. A life not going according to what he probably thought it could and should be doing. I'm sure he was at a loss as to God's plan, and maybe feeling a little disconnected from God. And though God may well have been trying to speak to Moses down through that 40 years through different things that he had experienced in that 40 years in the wilderness, for some reason, God didn't have Moses' attention. And so we come to our story today. Despite Moses' potential discouragement and distance from God, God wanted to get his attention, so he resorted to a burning bush. Have you ever been where Moses was? Where your life just doesn't seem to be panning out the way you thought God was planning it for you to be? You thought you were doing the right thing like Moses did. And yet it didn't seem to be working out the way you expected it to be. And you may sometimes feel like you're in the wilderness of your life. Yeah, you're in your own town or city and your own family and so on, but you feel a little bit like there's a disconnect there. You're in a wilderness. Feeling maybe like God has let you down just a bit. You know, when those things take place in our life, it tends to distance us from God in our own minds. And we aren't as sensitive to that still small voice that he wants to speak to us through. Misunderstandings are part of life and sometimes distance us from others, but we must be careful not to let them distance us from God. God is always faithful to us, but sometimes we have our own preconceived ideas of how things should be. Thankfully, God cared about Moses enough to go looking for him again and do something dramatic, drastic, to get his attention, because he had a plan for Moses, and he has a plan for us. And sometimes in our lives, God has to do something to get our attention. So God got Moses' attention here through a burning bush. Moses, as we've read here, verse 2, it says, "The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush was burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed." An unusual situation. Usually a fire burns what it's burning. It usually consumes it. I remember when I was young fellow back in England, my brothers found some mineral spirits that were in a workshop area that my dad had. And I don't know what they thought, but they poured some out, I think, on the floor and then put a match to it. It was not a good idea. But the floor was like on fire. But it wasn't burning the floor because it was the mineral spirits that were burning, fortunately. Otherwise, the whole garage would have gone up and bad things would have happened. I don't know how they got it out or whether it just died out. I can't remember. I just remember seeing it and thinking, yikes, what's going to happen next? But normally a fire consumes what is put into it. But here, this bush that Moses saw, there was a fire. And as he watched it, the fire didn't consume the branches. The bush was not consumed with the fire. It was something out of the ordinary. And so do you notice what it says in verse 3? "And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight." This doesn't make sense. I don't understand this. What's going on here? I'm going to turn aside and see why the bush is not burnt. He stopped what he was doing to see what was going on. And when Moses paused to turn aside, the Bible says in verse 4, "When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him." God has attention now. So now God spoke to Moses and called to him out of the bush. I wonder if Moses looked back and saw other times at that point where God had tried to get a hold of him. Oh, that was, remember that? I guess that was God trying to get a hold of me that time. You know, sometimes God has to interrupt our lives to get our attention. Moses was going about his normal day. He was looking after his sheep. That's what he did. He was a shepherd. He was looking after his father-in-law's sheep. And God changed the direction of his day, interrupted his day. And then Moses got looking to see what was going on. And then God said, "Moses, it's me. I've been trying to get a hold of you. I've been trying to talk to you. I've been trying to speak to you. Now I've got your attention." Sometimes when those interruptions come about in our lives, they are welcome. They may be something exciting and good, but sometimes they're not very welcome. Psalm 119, verse 67 says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word." Sometimes God has to bring some things into our life that aren't always the most pleasant. None of us likes afflictions, and certainly not all afflictions are of God. But if God so chooses to get our attention, may we realize that He is doing so because He loves us, He cares about us, and He wants our attention. Psalm 119 goes on to say in verse 75, "I know, O Lord, that Thy judgments are right, and that Thou in faithfulness has afflicted me." Now, sometimes the biggest inconveniences of our lives are actually the biggest blessings of our lives. Remember the story of Balaam? Balaam was on his way to curse Israel, and God put an angel in the way, but Balaam didn't see the angel. But his donkey stopped. He got mad with his donkey. "What are you doing, you stupid donkey?" And he hit it to try and get it to move forward. But it wouldn't. He was so upset because the donkey not only stopped, but when it went forward, it crushed his foot against the side. And he was upset. "Are you stupid donkey? What are you doing to me?" And the donkey spoke to him. "What's going on here? Talk about God getting your attention, the donkey starts to speak. Then he looked and realized it was an angel with a sword stretched out. Oh, thanks for getting my attention before that, Lord. Many a lost person has come to the Lord through time of hurt or loss. Sometimes in our lives we get going along and we don't have much time for God, don't have much thought for God, and sometimes there's things that God has to allow to come into our life that we, whoa, what's going on? And then we realize we weren't walking with God like we ought to have been. Many inconvenienced believers later realized that God was trying to get their attention. I know there have been times in my own life where those things have happened. Where you just say, what's going on? This isn't there. What? And then you realize it slows you down enough to stop and see where you're at in your life. And you go, sorry, Lord. I started to stray away. I've just been kind of carrying on in my own way and doing my own thing. Romans 8:28 is certainly evidence of that truth, isn't it? All things work together for good, because sometimes those things in our life are that which gets us back to where we need to be. What's God been doing in your life to try and get your attention? Have you been listening to the still small voice? Or does he have to set a bush on fire, so to speak, to get our attention? You know, it's interesting that the place that God got Moses' attention became known as the Mount of God. See that in verse 1? It says he came to the mountain of God. I don't necessarily think it was that before, but it became that because that's where God got his attention. And did you notice in the verses that we read that Moses was told by God that I'm going to bring you to this place and you're going to worship me with Israel here. So God has to get our attention sometimes, but why is he so intent on getting our attention? We already said that he cares for us and it's for our good, but I believe we see in the story here in Exodus chapter 3, through Moses' life, some specific things that we realize Moses realized about God when God had his attention. In verses 5 and 6, we find that when Moses was called, when God called to Moses, and Moses said, here I am. Verse 5 says, and he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. You know what Moses saw of God when God has his attention? Moses saw the holiness of God. He saw how God was indeed separate, different, holy, righteous. He was told to remove his shoes because the presence of God was a holy place. Realizing who he was speaking to and who was speaking to him, he hid his face because he realized the holiness of God. You know, I think as Christians, sometimes we get pretty casual with God. And although God has said to us, Jesus has said, I call you my friends, yet we really need to realize who God is. God is holy. We treat him often with much less reverence than he deserves. People talk about the man upstairs, and they talk about God as just their big buddy. But God is holy. He expects us to be holy. He expects us to live our lives differently. He says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Sometimes we get so casual with God that we think, well, God really won't be that bothered if I just do this. I know the Bible says I really shouldn't, but I don't think God will mind because, you know, God loves me. And well, God is holy and he calls us to walk in holiness. Moses saw the holiness of God. He'd been in that wilderness for 40 years, maybe feeling distanced from God. But when God revealed himself to Moses, Moses saw the holiness of God, and it affected him. When God sometimes has to get our attention to remind us that He is holy and we ought to be as well. But we also realize that God got Moses' attention. God's holiness, but He also realized that God did care for Israel. He cares for His people. Like I said, I think that when Moses was thinking that he's going to leave the palace and go and live with his people and deliver them out of the hand of Egypt, and he defends one of his own people from the Egyptians by killing an Egyptian, and he goes to try and sort out a fight between two Israelites, he thought, hey, I'm the one. My mother raised me. She said it was something different about me, and that maybe I'm the one that God had called. And he was ready to go and do. And he saw the cry of Israel. He saw the problems and what was going on in Egypt with the Israelites. And he said, this isn't fair. God's raised me up. I'm going to deliver them. And then when things didn't work out, don't you think when he went to the backside of the desert that he thought, maybe God doesn't care about us. Maybe God doesn't really care about Israel. Because if He did, why wouldn't He have made those people understand that I'm here to deliver them? I'm here to help them. But when God got Moses' attention this day, it says in verse 7, the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. And I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and I'm come down to deliver them. I'm come down, I'm going to deliver them to that land that I promised Abraham years ago. So God revealed His care for His people to Moses when He had Moses' attention. It seemed that Moses had expected God would use him, and when that didn't happen, he may have wondered, why doesn't God do anything? Doesn't He care? God said, I do care, Moses. And now I have your attention. I'm going to tell you how much I care. I'm going to show you that I'm going to deliver Israel out of the hand of Egypt. God reminded Moses that He was a God of His word and He cared about His people. Sometimes we feel that God's forgotten about us or doesn't see what we're facing. We may be tempted to say, God, don't you care about me? Don't you see what's going on in my life? We may feel a little distant from Him, but when God has our attention, we will realize and see how much God sees and how much He cares and how much He knows. Think of the disciples who were in the boat and Jesus was fast asleep. What did they say to Him when they were in the storms and they felt like the ship was going to sink? They went and woke Him and said, Master, carest Thou not that we perish? Don't You care about us? The Lord said, well, now I've got Your attention. I'll calm the storm and we'll carry on. Of course I care about you, disciples. So God revealed His holiness to Moses. He revealed His care to Moses and He revealed His plan to Moses. In verses 10 to 12, He says, come now therefore and I will send thee unto Pharaoh that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Moses, now I've got your attention. I'm going to tell you what I want you to do. Now you realized who I am and how much I care about my people. I want you to realize that I have a plan that does involve you. It wasn't time 40 years ago, but now it's time. I haven't forgotten about you, Moses. I haven't forgotten about the plan that I have for your life. Now is the time. You know, when God's not the focus in our lives, we have all sorts of plans. But like Moses' plan of old, they're doomed to fail. But when God has our attention, He can reveal His plan to us and we see how we fit into it. But He needs to get our attention. The verse that seems to have become quite popular over the last few years, Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God's plan for our life. He has thoughts towards us. He has plans toward us. But that plan can only be revealed to us as we walk with Him and He has our attention. Then we can follow in His plan. And of course, He revealed Himself to Moses in verses 13 and 14 for who He was. Yes, Moses had seen His holiness. Moses had seen His care. Moses had seen that God had a plan. But in verses 13 and 14, Moses says, who am I going to say you are? Lord, you're invisible, and when I go to the people and I say, God sent me, God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they say to me, what is his name? What am I going to say? So God says in verse 14, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you. God revealed himself to Moses for who he was. He's the I am, the ever-present one who would never fail. He wasn't just the God of the fathers. He'd already said, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he says, Moses, I am that I am. I am the present one. I'm not just a God of the past. I'm a God of the present. I am your God. I am the God of the children of Israel now, and I'm come to deliver them, and you are to be involved in that process. You know, God is not a God of the past, but a God of the present. And yes, we look back in history as we look back at this story, and we say that's what God did then. But if we only have history to go by and not the present, we're missing out on a huge amount. We need to know that God is God. Now, still, today, He is the ever-present one. He doesn't say, I was or I will be. He says, I am. I am that I am. He wants you to know today that He is your God, and He wants to help you with the circumstances that you are facing in your life today. When God gets your attention, He can reveal Himself to you. Somebody has said that when you realize that God is all you have, you realize that God is all you need. Sometimes it takes God getting our attention to get us to that place, doesn't it? Moses was arrested, as it were, in the wilderness by a sight of a burning bush. And when he turned aside to see, God revealed Himself to Moses. Knowing God and knowing the stories of the Word of God and how God is, I don't think that for 40 years God wasn't trying to get Moses' attention. I just think that Moses felt a little distance from God and he wasn't listening to the still small voice. And so that day, God said, Moses, I've tried before. Now I'm going to have to do something a little more drastic, a little more interrupting of your life to get your attention. And he did. And when Moses looked, then God said, okay, Moses, now I've got your attention. Now I want you to know that I'm holy. I want you to know that I care about my people and I will fulfill my promises to them. And I want you to know that I have a plan that you are to be involved in to deliver my people. Because Moses, I am that I am. Tonight I ask you, does God have your attention? He wants your attention. Not just once in a while, but He wants your attention all the time. Maybe you feel a little bit like Moses did. You feel like you're kind of in the wilderness. A little disconnected. Would you let God speak to you through His still small voice? But if He's trying to get your attention in other ways, listen to that. Listen to God as He gets your attention. He wants to reveal to you His holiness so that you also would walk in holiness. His care, He wants to reveal to you in His plan and Himself. Does God have your attention?